The Tolkien Road, Episode 217, A Tolkien Tour. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Tolkien Road, Episode 217. Greta.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Doing pretty darn good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Not just good, darn good.
Pretty darn garshnart.
All right. Whoa. Yeah. We just upped the ante.
Uh-huh.
Super duper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Oh, what's going on?
What is going on?
Well, let me tell you
okay. What
is going on.
Please do, because I just asked you what is going on.
Are you really asking?
I am. I literally just asked, what is going on, question mark?
Are you talking to me?
I am. I'm talking.
About what's going on?
I'm talking to you. You.
All right, you're throwing down. I'll tell you what's going on.
Do it.
On this episode, we are psyched to be discussing an upcoming Tolkien tour of England and Scotland. We are joined by writer and tour leader Solomon Schmidt, who will tell us all about the Tolkien tour he has planned for the summer of 2021. By the way, this is also a Lewis and Rowling tour, so for all you Narnia heads and Potter heads, this is for you as well. So this thing is jam-packed with things you're going to love. So you need to listen to this episode and find out what this tour is all about, because it is... It is phenomenal. It looks phenomenal.
It looks unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm blown away by what Solomon has put together.
Absolutely.
It seriously would be a trip of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, before we get started, we'd like to give a shout out to our patrons. Special thanks to this episode's executive producer, Caitlin of Tea with Tolkien. And if you would like to become a patron, which you should... And you should want to become a patron. Not only should you become a patron, but you should want to become a patron.
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Both and.
Support us on Patreon. Head on over to patreon.com/Tolkien Road to learn how to do it. Find out all of the perks that you get when you do become a patron and all the other details that go along with it. So.
Yeah. Do it.
If for no other reason, you get our unending appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It is
unending.
Heartfelt. Yes.
Yes.
Both. Both and.
And if you're unable to support us via Patreon, you can also support us via Tipjar. Go to this episode, go to any episode, any recent episode, and you will find a big blue button that says leave a tip, and that's a way to do it. You can also subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes and other podcasting platforms. Please leave us a 5-star rating and say some really nice things about us.
Yeah.
And we'll probably read your review on the air.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Not a whole lot going on in the world of Tolkien news. You know, still been pretty quiet around. I think we might have scared off Latron Prime with all of our, you know, with all of the Tolkien fandom's hand-wringing about, you know, the apparent sexiness that was coming to Latron Prime. So, you know, maybe they're just
reimagining.
They're just mm-hmm. reimagining. They're like, yeah. Maybe we need to go back to the drawing board on this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's how it goes, then I'm okay with that.
Me too.
But we would like some news soon. Anyway,
yes.
if you see any news out there in the world of Tolkiendom, send us tips. By the way, have I mentioned my latest video, Tolkien versus the Nazis? Over on YouTube, on a Tolkien Road YouTube channel, I have posted a video of Tolkien versus the Nazis. It's kind of a 5-minute version of the episode that we did a while back on what Tolkien himself had to say about the Nazis and Hitler and... racialist ideas and these sorts of things. And I made this video because I wanted something that was easy for people to share whenever, you know, we get this, you know, unfortunately, some people get this idea in their head that Tolkien was some kind of, you know, racist or something like that. And the honest truth is that's the farthest thing possible from the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was actually, I would say he was anti-Nazi before it was cool to be anti-Nazi. Right.
Mm.
He was actually taking a risk with the things he said about the Nazis and Hitler before others were, right? Mm. Way before most others were.
He was a trailblazer.
He truly was, and he deserves credit for that. So anyway, mm-hmm. head on over to our YouTube channel, the Tolkien Road YouTube channel, and check out my latest video, Tolkien versus the Nazis, and share it. If you need to share it with people out there who may have the wrong idea of his views there. So
cool.
All right. correspondent, stick around until the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. All right, Greta, let's talk about this Tolkien tour, yes. Shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
All right, on this episode, we are psyched to be joined by Solomon Schmidt of HistoryBytes.com. Solomon is the author of the History Bytes series and host of the History Bytes YouTube channel. He started writing at the age of 12, and since then, he has published 6 books with 2 more forthcoming. Over the last few years, Solomon has traveled across the United States speaking and exhibiting his books at many different conferences. Solomon is not only passionate about U.S. and world history, he is also an avid fan of J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, and J.K. Rowling. He has devoted thousands of hours to reading their works, studying their lives, and helping people learn more about them. Solomon's 3 books on these authors sprang out of his passion to share their stories with others, whether you are a newcomer to their books or a dedicated fan already. Solomon, welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Greta. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We're excited to talk about this tour. It looks absolutely amazing.
Stunning, actually. Yeah.
I want to get into the details of this thing in a few minutes. But, you know, just start out by giving us a high-level overview of the tour and how it all came about.
Yeah, so I've been interested in Tolkien since I read The Hobbit for the first time at the age of 9. I read all of the books and waited 4 years before I was allowed to watch the movies. So in that time, I reread the books and loved everything related to Tolkien or Lewis, anything I could get on their lives or their works. And around 2018, I wrote a children's biography of Tolkien called The Life and Works of J.R.R. Tolkien History Bytes, which goes with the History Bytes series. And I made some friendships with different Tolkien scholars who were great mentors and friends to me and have really made me love Tolkien more, be more interested to study him, and have a better understanding of him from people who not only knew him, but have studied him for, in some cases, 50 plus years. And I went to England last summer for the Tolkien 2019 conference, and I was able to visit some of the sites related to Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, not so much J.K. Rowling. And we visited Oxford, we visited Bournemouth and Birmingham, where the conference took place. And earlier this year, while COVID was going on, and I thought about the fact that there are just so many amazing places in the world, and of course, Tolkien had access in his lifetime to some of the most beautiful scenery, beautiful countryside, beautiful sea coasts, even little mountains up in Scotland, that I thought anyone who really loves Tolkien, I'm sure, would just really enjoy seeing and being able to go to the places that inspired Tolkien, mm-hmm. and not only the place that inspired him, but just the place where he lived his lives, the university mm-hmm. where he taught, houses he lived in, his gravesite, of course, and a lot of other sites. And I became really interested in making a tour that would just be the trip of a lifetime for Tolkien fans. It was a tour that I knew I would want to go on in a second, and I just wanted to provide that same opportunity for any Tolkien fan who has always wanted to do these sites and can do them in a really incredible way. Mm-hmm. And the UK is just a beautiful area of the country, and it also happens to be the birthplace and the country of two of the best authors of all time. And of course, talking there just about Tolkien and Lewis, but the tour is also around J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. But many of the sites will be focused on J.R.R. Tolkien. So that's a little bit about how the tour came about and why I wanted to put it together.
Awesome. Yeah. And so just, you obviously mentioned it, you know, this fact, but this is not just a Tolkien tour. This is a Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, and J.K. Rowling tour. And
it's a trifecta.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, those are the three, you know, the three names, right? Of,
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it really is. Of fantasy. You know, I'm sure, you know, there's other names that might be added onto there as well, but those are, like, I think, just think especially for, I feel like as a Tolkien fan, as a really big Tolkien fan, I always say Lewis was my first love, then Tolkien, and I have a very strong appreciation for Rowling as well, right?
Yeah, as do I.
You actually kind of, I think, got me into Rowling originally, you know.
Yeah.
Got me into the Harry Potter stuff.
I'll take the credit, sure.
but yeah, this just sounds, I mean, I love that these three are going together, you know, on this tour, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be an opportunity to see so many important places in the UK relating to these three really amazing individuals, you know. Yeah. So.
And you described the tour, Solomon, as whirlwind. And as I was looking over the itinerary, I was like, that might be an understatement, actually. I mean, you have packed so much amazing stuff into a week-long tour. I mean, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah. The main point I was trying to make with the word whirlwind isn't that my goal isn't that you come on the tour feeling like you're being rushed around place to place, but that you get the best of everything the UK has to offer mm-hmm. in an 8-day span while still yeah. visiting sites relating to the three authors.
Yeah.
My hope is that it's a relaxing tour mm-hmm. For anyone who comes on it. But yes, whirlwind in the sense of you're going to see a lot, hopefully, in eight days.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And what I really appreciated, and we can talk about the itinerary maybe a little bit in a little more detail in a minute, but I really appreciated, I've actually never been on like a super like, you know, structured group tour like this because I value like my freedom. I like to be able to go and do things, you know, when I want to do them. And so it sounds like you've allowed time for that as well.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, that's the best of both worlds as far as I'm concerned, because
right.
you get, you know, you have the structure and you have the guide to help you get to the highlights and do all the big things. But then you also have some downtime scheduled for people to go and explore on their own.
Well, yeah, one of the fun things about doing something like this and going to this place that, you know, is so different from what your normal experience might be and seeing all these places is that you're going to see other things that you're like, well, that's not on the itinerary, but I want to kind of spend like look into that a little more, you know.
Exactly.
On a personal note, I feel like that's kind of funny because I feel like whenever we go somewhere, you're always like, I'm like trying to move ahead and you're like sticking around. And I'm like, Greta, come on.
Well,
like,
don't get me wrong.
Let's go.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I do like when I go somewhere, I want to see all the things.
Yeah,
like I'm
yeah.
like,
right.
if you're gonna take me to Oahu, yes, I want to spend some time on the beach, but I want to go to Pearl Harbor. Like I want to go to Waikiki. Like
right.
I want to do all the things, but. You know, so anyway, I'm just saying this is like perfect balance because I'm going to get to see all the things on this tour, but I'm also going to be able to have a little bit of time to myself.
Well, in all these locations that we're going to talk about in just a minute, there's so much to see, you know. I mean, you couldn't, in any one of these locations, you could spend a month and not see everything
right.
there
yeah.
is
mm-hmm.
to see.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So I think the whirlwind is probably more like just your head is going to be spinning with the awesomeness of
yes.
what
yes.
this is,
yep.
you know,
like a tornado.
Exactly.
It's like
a Tolkien tornado.
Yeah.
I think you need to rename the tour. It's going to be the Tolkien tornado tour. T-O-U-R-N-A-D-O.
I like the
Tolkien tornado.
Tolkien tornado. Yeah. boom. Yeah.
yeah.
All right, well, cool. So let's talk about the itinerary. So you've got this thing really well planned out day by day. So tell us about all the places the tour will be going.
Yeah, so we're going to be going to several different cities. We're going to start off the tour in London. We're going to see some really famous sites, eat at some beautiful places. We're going to see the Tower of London, the Tower Bridge, Buckingham Palace, Big Ben. And then from there, we're going to be driving to Stonehenge. We're going to tour that site a little bit. And after the London and Stonehenge kind of phase of the tour, we're going to be heading down to Bournemouth, where we're going to be visiting some beautiful places on the southern coast. We're going to stay at the Hotel Miramar, where Tolkien was a frequent guest. We're going to be spending some time there. And also, we're hopefully going to be having Dr. Tom Shippey visit us that day at the Hotel Miramar.
That's huge.
That's
wow.
Awesome.
Talk. And, Dr. Shippey, will hopefully be discussing some of his own memories of Tolkien, as he knew him in the last couple of years of his life. Bournemouth is going to be a beautiful location to visit. And if you go to the website where the tour page is, you can see some really fantastic pictures of Bournemouth Beach, the Hotel Miramar, and another location called Old Harry Rocks, which is one of the most beautiful locations I've ever seen pictures of in England. There are these huge chalk cliffs, and it is just the perfect setting to look out and imagine you're looking out to Valinor.
Wow.
Or at least into the west.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I'm looking at the picture of these rocks right now, and they really they do look like it's like another world, you know. You know, something you wouldn't necessarily see on Earth.
No.
So yeah, but these rocks aren't in any way related to Harry Potter, are they?
No, okay. They're not, but they are a great location for I think just anyone who wants to understand how, when you read about how the sea inspired Tolkien, and when you hear Legolas make comments about the call of the gulls, and you know, you'll actually be there on top of the mountains, hopefully seeing some gulls, and it's a beautiful part of England, and Bournemouth Beach is very lovely. The Hotel Miramar is a beautiful establishment. Even if you didn't enjoy Tolkien, even if you didn't go there to stay where Tolkien stayed, it's a very beautiful hotel. It's got a great location looking out to the Atlantic. And then after Bournemouth, we're going to be spending a few days in Oxford. And of course, there's so much to unpack in Oxford because Oxford is the hub for Tolkien, Lewis, and Rowling. We're going to be going to Tolkien's grave, 20 Northmoor Road. We're going to be visiting certain colleges in Oxford. We're going to be touring Christchurch College, where they filmed parts of Harry Potter, Duke Humphrey's Library, where parts of the earlier Harry Potter movies were filmed. We're going to be visiting C.S. Lewis's home, the Kilns, and hopefully getting a tour of that house, the locations around it, Shotover Hill, C.S. Lewis's grave and church. A lot of really amazing sites related to Tolkien and Lewis and Rowling. And of course, the Eagle and Child.
The Bird and the Baby.
Bird and the Baby, that's right. And Magdalen College, where Lewis taught. I mean, those are just some of the major ones. And we'll be eating at some really wonderful establishments, including the Trout Inn, where C.S. Lewis used to eat towards the end of his life. He used to go there for dinner. And I actually had the opportunity last year in England to go to dinner at the Trout with a man named Walter Hooper, who's a very lovely man. He's one of the greatest men I've ever had the privilege to know through reading Tolkien and Lewis. And he was C.S. Lewis's secretary towards the end of his life, and he knew Tolkien for almost a decade. He went over to Tolkien and to Mr. and Mrs. Tolkien's house pretty regularly, and I had the opportunity to go to the Trout with him, where he used to eat with C.S. Lewis. And there's pictures of the Inklings you can see of Lewis and a few other members of the Inklings sitting on a stone wall, and that's actually out at the Trout, and we're going to be eating at that restaurant. So that'll certainly be a highlight Oxford. It's a lovely, lovely city. You get the best of countryside and the best of these thousand-year-old buildings in some cases.
I have to make a note here that you know Solomon is the real deal here, because he pronounced it Magdalen College. He got the pronunciation right. I would have totally said Magdalen College.
I would have too.
And
the,
I think
the
I've...
first, yeah, no, no, the first time I got it wrong, yeah. And I had someone correct me. I said Magdalen.
Yeah, you
very
know,
first time.
But I think I've had somebody correct me on that before, but I didn't remember. But you know, Solomon's the real deal. He pulled it off, so they got the name right. We are always, since this is a Tolkien podcast, we're always getting corrected by our listeners on pronunciation of certain things. So that's a kind of a common theme for this podcast.
It is. And if they're like, and if I sometimes I don't even try.
Yeah.
I just stop and I say, John, can you pronounce this for me? And then he does his best.
I do my
best.
Then
we get corrected anyway.
But then I'm still unsure about how to say something. But just to highlight the Tolkienian aspects. So this is, I mean, 3 days in Oxford.
Right.
The 20 Northmoor Road, that's where Tolkien lived for much of his adult life. And also visiting the cemetery where he and Edith are buried.
The Eagle and Child. Is the Eagle and Child, is that where the Inklings would meet? Okay.
Yeah. That was their place.
Okay.
I mean, just that stuff. And then there's other Tolkienian things here, but just to be able to visit these places in person would be extremely moving for me. You know, I would probably be, you know, the day I actually visit Tolkien's grave, I'm probably going to, like, you know, ball. So just to be there and be in his presence. So like that. So
it is surreal, and I'm sure the professor would laugh at us today if he knew all the attention that was given to him. But as far as I'm concerned, he's earned it and deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I know you guys feel the same way.
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah.
So next on the stop is Edinburgh. So tell us about the plan for Edinburgh.
Yeah, so we're going to be spending a day in Edinburgh, and most of the sites in Edinburgh are related to Harry Potter. But the great news for anyone who's coming on the tour who may not be a diehard Harry Potter fan as much as a Tolkien or C.S. Lewis fan is that we're going to be visiting some locations in Edinburgh that are world famous and don't necessarily relate to Harry Potter, which one of which, of course, the biggest would be Edinburgh Castle, which is an incredible historical site. J.K. Rowling could see the castle from the cafes where she used to write Harry Potter, so there is that connection. But we will be visiting some Harry Potter sites in Edinburgh, including Greyfriars Kirkyard, where you can see the grave of Tom Riddle or Voldemort. We're going to be visiting the Elephant House. Unfortunately, one of the places I'd hoped to take our group is a place called Nicholson's Cafe, where J.K. Rowling started writing the books, but unfortunately that place has gone out of business. But we will be visiting.
Oh, so sad to hear.
Yes, yep. And we will be visiting several pretty iconic Harry Potter sites, Victoria Street and the big Harry Potter store on Victoria Street. So that is going to be an incredible day for Harry Potter fans. And even if you're not a diehard Harry Potter fan, we're going to go to some beautiful places, see Edinburgh from the top of Edinburgh Castle. And you can just look out and see for miles to Edinburgh and the water and the mounds beyond, and it's a beautiful city,
Scott. So and just a good opportunity to maybe be a little bit immersed in Scottish culture, you know.
Yes, definitely. You
know, yeah, I know for me, I certainly have Scottish roots, so that would be very, very cool. Well, I wanted to say too. So Greyfriars. So I feel like I've listened to another podcast where they talk about the Greyfriars Cemetery as being a very, very haunted place. Is that, do you know anything about that? Does that ring any bells for you?
I don't, but it wouldn't surprise me if you Googled it, if it came up on a list of, you know, top 10 most haunted grave sites in Scotland or around the world. But that I'm not familiar with, but it is a very iconic Harry Potter location in Edinburgh. And there is a grave you can see marked Tom Riddle.
Wow. Okay.
That's an interesting connection.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Yeah, the Greyfriars, when you mentioned Greyfriars, that just popped into my head, because I'm pretty sure I listened to a podcast episode or two about that location and some really amazing spooky stories about some stuff that's happened there. But anyway, so sorry for that.
This is not
a ghost tour, so you know, but there might be people out there, you know, I mean, if we're talking about fantasy, you know, fantasy fans, which we are, you know, they're probably going to think those kinds of things are pretty cool too. So
you know, we're not going to take anybody past the barrow down, so
there was something else I wanted to mention too, but I think it slipped from my mind. It'll probably come back to me in just a minute.
Okay.
But Edinburgh, so that sounds absolutely amazing. So
it really looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And the school that you mentioned here, the George Heriot School.
Yes.
Is that you said there's a lot of similarities between that and Hogwarts. So is that kind of where J.K. Rowling maybe got some of her inspiration for the setting of the Harry Potter books?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But it is one of those sites in Edinburgh which has just a very Harry Potter feel to it.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it. It looks like it could be Hogwarts from the picture.
Yes. Yeah, we don't We don't think, there's no conclusive evidence to say that she did receive direct inspiration from that, but it is a very Harry Potter-esque site. And there are other sites we're going to be visiting in Edinburgh that directly inspired her and outside of Edinburgh. And that kind of coincides with the last day on the tour, which is kind of like the crowning jewel of the tour. We're going to take an incredible once-in-a-lifetime ride on the Jacobite steam train, which Harry Potter fans know as Hogwarts Express. We're going to be passing by several Harry Potter filming locations. You can see on the website a tour, a picture of the viaduct that the train passes over, where there was a scene in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets with Ron and Harry. But it is a beautiful 84-mile ride throughout the Scottish Highlands. You're going to be seeing mountains, beautiful meadows, forests, lakes. We're going to be stopping in a town called Mayleg, which is on the sea. It's a beautiful Scottish town. And this is a day, John, you were mentioning a little bit ago about being immersed in Scottish culture. This is really a day for you to get the feel of what it's like to be in Scotland, to experience Scottish culture, Scottish food, of course, interact with Scottish people. And it is going to be an incredible ride. And it is It's a beautiful train. It's been running for a number of years. It goes through a number of just breathtaking locations. And to top it off, on that day, we are going to be going into the countryside, into a little green valley, and we're going to be having a really beautiful dinner at the Athol Palace, which is one of the best restaurants or hotels in Scotland. It is a luxury five-star establishment. We're going to have a traditional Scottish meal and a bagpiper welcome us in to the meal. It is an incredible place, and we're going to have a lovely meal as the last day on the tour to celebrate the tour. And we're going to be staying that day, the day that we ran in the Jacobite, in a town called Fort William. And in Fort William is a mountain called Ben Nevis, which is, I think, just over 5,000 feet, and it's the tallest mountain in the UK, and you'll be able to see that in Fort William. So it's a beautiful location where we're going to be staying, and the Jacobite leaves from Fort William and goes to that town I mentioned a minute ago, Mayleg, and then returns, of course, to Fort William.
Gotcha.
Yeah, wow. Man, oh, man. Like, I'm already feeling the whirlwind of it all, like, just having gone through
the tornado.
Yeah, yes. The Tolkien tornado. You know, and a couple of things, you know, I think I have a hard time imagining that, like, anybody who listens to our podcast is not also at least does not also somewhat appreciate both Lewis and Harry Potter. You know, I mean, I think probably everybody has their kind of priorities of those three. But you know, it just would seem odd to me that somebody is like, just, you know, loves Tolkien and then it's just like, but I absolutely hate Harry Potter. Yeah. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, you don't have to, like, I understand you may not love everything the same way, but it's like, this just looks amazing. And even if Tolkien is your only thing, right? This is, you're going to his homeland, to the land that inspired his soul, right? As someone who just loved the place that he grew up, that he lived, loved the culture, and really like the very earth that he walked around
the dirt, the plants. There's a funny story, John, I heard once about when Tolkien and Lewis and Lewis's brother Warren were taking a walk in the countryside, because as I'm sure you know, the Lewis brothers love to take, they'd call them walking trips or walking tours, where they would have somebody drive them like 25 miles outside of Oxford, and then they would walk the way back, take like 3 days, stop at pubs overnight, and they decided to take Tolkien one day. And Lewis apparently was a very brisk walker, and he always had the spots planned out and the time they were going to get there. And Tolkien wanted to look at all the foliage, tell them the names of the trees and the plants. And Lewis, I guess, just got very, impatient and fed up with the botany lessons. And after their trip, Tolkien didn't get an invitation again.
Oh, no.
So,
oh, man.
That is hilarious.
That's some typical Tolkien
that
right
is.
There.
I mean, like, he's,
it is.
You can just hear him say, now don't be hasty. Don't be hasty.
Yeah, just yeah. Spends a year, you know, making sure one little detail in the Silmarillion is correct, you know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy. And you know what, John, you were saying a minute ago about Tolkien, Lewis, and Rowling, and, you know, I just look at it kind of like this. No Tolkien, no Lewis, no Lewis, no Tolkien, and mm-hmm. no Tolkien and Lewis, no Rowling.
Absolutely.
That
Amen.
Is the truth.
Amen. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it's just a great combination.
Oh, for sure.
And I can't help but think that even if you only have an appreciation for one or two of those, that by the time you're done with this, you're going to even more deeply appreciate all three, you know?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this just looks, you know, this just looks,
it does. Fantastic.
I'm kind of like drooling, like just looking at all of this. So,
yes.
Well, so, you know, obviously, Solomon, you know, this is a big undertaking. So, you know, what else do we need to tell our listeners, who are maybe thinking about looking more into this? You know, I mean, we obviously need to talk about, a little bit about the cost associated with it. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So your ticket, the ticket for the tour includes 8 nights lodging in 4 and 5 star accommodations, 8 breakfasts, 6 lunches, and 3 dinners. Of course, your travel on the coach, your ticket on the Jacobite, all entrance and guides fees, the wireless headset, History Bites hat, and a T-shirt. And the tour price is $27.99 per person, and that's based on double occupancy. Single-person accommodations are available upon request for an additional fee of $7.99. But that is the tour price, and that's what's included in each mm-hmm. individual ticket.
Okay.
All right.
And airfare, obviously, would be it's extra, and the easiest thing to do, probably just get a round trip to London. Is that what you would suggest, or is there...
Well,
so I know we're not getting back to London, but I don't know.
Yes.
I was thinking about that. I was kind of planning it in my head, and I was like, well, okay, we'd obviously fly into London.
Uh-oh. Greta's already making plans.
Well, you know, air travel is actually at an all-time low right now, so I'm like, let's just go ahead and jump on it.
Time to act.
Time to act, right?
Well, let's Solomon address
please.
That. Yeah.
I have no sense of, like, geography or anything, so I think, oh, we'll just, you know, walk back to London when we're done,
yeah.
but maybe not...
So the tour starts in London, Greta, and it ends in Edinburgh.
Right.
And it's about a 6-hour drive from Oxford to Edinburgh.
Okay.
And what I would recommend, unless guests want to arrive early and explore a little bit of the country on their own, and they want to fly into a different location, if you booked a flight to Heathrow Airport in London,
mm-hmm.
we have picked a very beautiful hotel not too far from the airport, where it'll be very convenient for people to get off their flight and just come right to the hotel if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, unless guests want to stay longer and explore more Scotland or maybe even hop the ferry over to Ireland, you can take a flight right out of Edinburgh Airport.
Okay.
So that you start and you end right in the cities where you can fly in mm-hmm. and out of.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So maybe you just get 2 one-way tickets. That's what
yes.
you would recommend. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
Well, you know, the other, and so what you all need to do as you're listening right now is you need to go to historybites.com and it's /tour, right? That's going to have all of the information for you to see. Cause I know sometimes there's so much information we've covered. You need to go visit Solomon's website, and you need to see all of this firsthand, and you need to see everything that's included in that, you know, in that price tag, because it's a lot.
It's a lot of
really good stuff.
A lot of stuff. Can I ask something real quick? Because I was just had this pop into my brain. Our two oldest children are like, I mean, they like Tolkien, but they love Harry Potter. Like, they love Harry Potter. And so I was thinking, like, this would be a really fun family trip. Like, it would be really fun. So I was just wondering, like, as far as like is there an age like limit to, or is there like a, you know, like you have to be at least, you know, 16 or 18 or whatever to go on this tour or anything?
No.
Okay.
No. And there's no part of this tour, that, a whole family together couldn't do. We're not taking, of course, not in the UK. We're not taking any helicopter rides or, anything physically demanding.
Gotcha.
Where it wouldn't be okay to bring your children with you.
Okay. Good to know.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, the elephant in the room of all of this is, of course, the fact that you mentioned earlier, which is the, you know, we're in this COVID pandemic right now. And so anybody who's listening and is going to be thinking to themselves, this sounds amazing, but what about COVID, right? So what have you all, what's your kind of plan in terms of, you know, the ever-changing situation of the COVID pandemic going on in the world right now in this tour?
Yeah, definitely, John. So a full refund will be given should there be government restrictions that make traveling to the UK impossible. So a full refund at any time for that reason.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Good.
Yeah, and you can see that, again, if you go to historybites.com/tour, you'll see the cancellation policy, you know, listed there. And I'm sure that Solomon would be happy to answer any questions of folks reaching out to out to him for more detail, or I'm sure people would have, well, what if this happened? So, absolutely reach out to Solomon with those questions.
Yeah. So there's a contact us at the bottom of the tour page and on any page on the History Bites website. And you can learn more at the website about my work and the History Bites books and the YouTube channel. But on the bottom of all those pages, you can see the contact us email, which is solomon@historybites.com.
Gotcha. All right.
Very cool.
Well, let's just summarize this real quick again. So, you know, you're talking about London and Stonehenge, July 2nd and 3rd. You're talking about Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. That's another tough one.
Yeah.
We can't get any easy pronunciations through these
cities. That's right. Bournemouth, July 4th. And with the amazing, like, for me, this feels like an opportunity of a lifetime to be able to listen, hear a talk from Dr. Tom Shippey on his experiences of, with Tolkien. Mm-hmm. And then Oxford, July 5th through 7th, and then Edinburgh, July 8th, and the Fort William and Jacobite steam train on July 9th. So, and you need to go here, see all the pictures of these things, right? There's just tons of pictures on this site that are just going to tantalize your brain and seduce you into making this decision.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. Like, yeah. it's the page itself is a visual feast of just a lot of beautiful stuff. And, you know, you need to go check it out. You need to do yourself a favor and go check it out, and very strongly, you know, consider, doing this, because it looks like kind of a once in a lifetime kind of opportunity.
It really does. It really, really does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I wanted to do. And I wanted anyone who was coming on this tour, that by the time they left, they would have just gotten an overload of Tolkien and Lewis and Rowling, and just had any desire, in that field satisfied.
Yes.
And, hopefully satisfied to overflowing. I'm hoping it's going to be a great trip. We're going to see a lot of beautiful places, meet a lot of incredible people. And the UK is a fantastic country. And I mean, we're going to be there talking about three of some of the most brilliant and fascinating people. I think not only just authors, but to me, three of the most fascinating people I've ever read about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and the weather should be pretty lovely that time of year, too.
Yes, and I hope, let's knock on wood, that we're not going to have rainstorms now.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jinx us. I was just thinking, oh, it's July. It won't be raining.
All jokes aside, July, traditionally, July is a great time to visit England.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in my mind, even if it does happen to be somewhat rainy, like, to me, that's kind of... that's part of the climate of that part of the world, mm-hmm. you know, of the United Kingdom.
Yes.
And, and, you know, I can deal with that.
Adds to the ambiance.
Right? It does. Mm-hmm. It gets you that, that ambiance. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Solomon, thank you so much. Once again, you really, you know, for those of you listening, you need to stop what you're doing and go to historybites.com/tour. Because if you don't do that right now and bookmark it and, you know, reach out, even if you just reach out to Solomon and say, hey, Solomon, could you add me to an email list, or, you know, just make sure that I can, you know, that I don't forget about this, right? You know, you need to do yourself a favor and at least get on, you know, get in some way so Solomon can remind you about this tour before it's too late, because you don't want to get to next summer and be like, oh, kicking yourself because mm-hmm. you know, you missed out on this opportunity. So yeah. Head on over to historybites.com/tour.
And maybe while you're at it, subscribe to his YouTube channel too.
Absolutely.
As a homeschool mom, I'm like, I wish I'd heard about this sooner. I didn't know it existed. History is not my strong suit, but I have my youngest is really into history. Yeah. So
I would love to send you both copies of the History Bites books. I've got one on U.S. history, one on U.S. presidents, two on well-known people from world history, from Buddha all the way to Tiger Woods.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
One on Tolkien, one on Lewis, and then a new one that's coming out next month on major wars from world history.
Oh, wow. Very cool. Very
awesome.
Cool. I would, yeah, I know that would be awesome. Our youngest especially is, yeah, he just loves, he's read all of those Who Was and Who Is biographies.
Yes.
And yep. Things like that. So I know he would eat those up for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, Solomon, thank you so much for you know, for joining us and telling us about this tour, and mm-hmm. And I know so many of our listeners, we've had so many people reach out to us over the years of doing this podcast and say, you know, they want us to do a Tolkien tour, and I'm like, I don't know the first thing about doing this kind
we've
of thing.
We've actually
so
talked about that on the podcast,
yeah,
right?
You know,
I mean,
well,
and here comes Solomon. It's meant to be. It's meant to be.
Absolutely. So I'm really glad that we learned about what you're offering here, and mm-hmm. and I know there's going to be a lot of interested folks, you know, in this. So once again, thanks for joining us.
Yes,
on
thank
this
you.
Episode.
Yeah, that's great to hear, John. And you and Greta have done a phenomenal job putting this podcast together. So, and I appreciate you having me on, and
yeah, thank you.
You guys, I've seen you before. I've seen the podcast listed before, and you do great work.
Well, thank you.
Contributing to the Tolkien community. So I appreciate both of you just doing that in your spare
awesome.
Time or whatever spare time you may have.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Solomon.
Well, thank you, Solomon.
All right. Correspondence time.
Yay. I love correspondence.
I do too. It's a highlight of each and every mm-hmm. episode for me.
Me too.
So first off, I just want to give a shout out once again to our executive producer, Caitlin of Tea with Tolkien. And I saw on the in the Twitterverse the other day that she has a Silmarillion book club coming up, and she has done
Ooh.
Several of these book clubs. And I just wanted to say, Caitlin didn't even ask me to do this, but I just wanted to say you should go sign up for the book club. You can go to teawithtolkien.com/book-club, or just go to teawithtolkien.com, and I'm sure you'll find your way there. But look for the Silmarillion book club. I think it's free to sign up to be a part
mm-hmm.
of it. I
mm-hmm.
believe, again, I didn't even ask Caitlin about doing this. So if some of the details are incorrect, then that's on me. But I just want to let you all know about that so you can go over and check it out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think they're starting in January, I believe. So,
okay.
You know,
good way to kick off the new year.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. We had some feedback from our last episode on the Bombadil Enigma.
That was a fun episode.
That was a very fun episode. Our interview with Keith Matheson. So I'm going to share some of that feedback with you all.
All right.
So first is from Arthur H. I liked this one. Speaking of Bombadil, I have an idea that may fall into the category of wacky. Keep in mind that in Middle-earth, names have power, and even speaking them may have consequences. Tom is telling the hobbits that he remembered the good old days before the Dark Lord came from outside. As he says this, Frodo notes that a shadow seems to pass across the window. Then Goldberry comes in from outside. Conclusion? Goldberry is the Dark Lord, which is, in this context, must be Melkor. And if that's who she is, then logic dictates that Tom must be dun 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 Ungoliant.
Oh my god. Oh wow. That's funny.
That definitely deserves an alrighty then.
Yes. Yes. Clever.
You know, that is some unassailable logic right there. You know, I think basically we just need to scrap episode 216.
I think so.
I think Arthur. Arthur has answered this Arthur question definitively for us. So,
yep.
Unfortunately, Goldberry is Melkor and Tom Bombadil is Ungoliant. So, all right.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thanks, Arthur.
That's fantastic. I really like that.
On a more serious note, I thought this was really good. So this is from a longtime listener and correspondent, Jennifer. Jennifer left a comment on the last episode that says, Tom's Elvish name, Oldest and Fatherless, is sometimes misunderstood as literally meaning that he has no origin and no father. However, I have realized that this is hyperbole. As with Melchizedek, he is someone whose origins are unknown. This adds to the enigma. Jesus fulfills the saying of being the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This obscure king of the Old Testament was an enigma. No one knows anything about him, who his parents were. I just thought this was... I've always been fascinated by the figure of Melchizedek from the Old Testament, mm-hmm. right? Just to mm-hmm. give a little background, Melchizedek is a figure who is the... priest of Salem in the book of Genesis around the time of Abraham, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And after Abraham goes out and wins some, I believe he wins some battles, in what will be the future Holy Land. And then he basically goes to Melchizedek as a priest. And then there's this sacrifice of bread and wine. Right, mm-hmm. That's associated mm-hmm. with Melchizedek, and then Melchizedek shows up later and much later in the history of the scriptures and the letter to the Hebrews, where it talks about Jesus being a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Right.
Right? Yes. Uh huh.
All that is to say, Melchizedek is this very he really is. He's like the Tom Bombadil of
the Bible.
Of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's this like figure that's just like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, he's clearly real. No one knows like where he came from.
Well, the thing is, like, you're just he's a figure there in these stories, and you don't know where. He just shows up, mm-hmm. and he seems really important, and then he disappears until the letter of the Hebrews, which is like 1,000 years later or something, right?
Yeah.
So, he's this very very mysterious figure like Tom Bombadil is, and I had never like kind of put this together with Tom Bombadil, made this connection between Tom Bombadil and Melchizedek,
and
how mysterious they both are. Right?
Yeah, obscure is a good word.
Yeah, they're these figures that seem like they don't seem the same as the other figures in their respective stories.
Right.
On a metaphysical level, right?
You know, just like they're otherworldly in a way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, where did these figures come from?
Yeah.
They're obviously very important. They're obviously very maybe powerful. But they aren't like, we just don't know much about them, about their origin or their purpose. We just have to kind of like chew on it and think about like, what do they mean? What are they all about? So,
and knowing, obviously that Tolkien was a man of faith and would have been very familiar with the Bible.
Totally.
It's hard to think that maybe Melchizedek didn't influence, wasn't some kind of inspiration for Bombadil.
There may not be, there's no actual textual evidence of any connection or of him, of Melchizedek being an inspiration that I know of, but nevertheless, I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that there is a similarity, right, mm-hmm. in the mm-hmm. way these figures figure into their respective stories. So that's a really cool thing to share, Jennifer.
That's really good food for thought.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Thanks for sharing that insight. Mm-hmm. And then we have a note from Marilyn the librarian on Tom Bombadil as well.
Marilyn.
She says, I enjoyed the Bombadil episode and smiled at the resonances with Brother Francis, though I bump a bit on the association of Goldberry with the Virgin Mary. They are most clearly married in the poem about them which precedes Lord of the Rings, after all. Fair enough, fair enough. As it happens, Tolkien and his daughter Priscilla spent 5 days in Assisi in 1955 visiting all the churches and shrines associated with Francis and Claire. So I think that's a pretty clear devotion.
Mm-hmm.
A few years later, Tolkien and Edith went on a cruise in the Eastern Mediterranean. He passed up the chance to visit Rome during that trip, but he heard Mass in the Cathedral of San Marco in Venice. He often mentioned that Venice put him in mind of Gondor. So I think his preference for the independence of Francis over the bureaucracy of Rome might be inferred. Or perhaps he just wasn't feeling up to it when the boat stopped near Rome. Who knows? Bombadil's singing is also reminiscent of the Finnish magician, I'm not going to say this name right, Vainamoinen. Vainamoinen. From the epic Kalevala, which entranced Tolkien in his teens and led to the formation of Quenya. Vainamoinen, along with all other Finnish magic workers, would sing his spells and words of power. In one story, Vainamoinen sings his challenger up to his neck into a swamp. And Bombadil sings in the same rhythm as the Kalevala meter, which Longfellow also copied for the Song of Hiawatha.
Hmm.
Hoping you both are well and your family. Cool insights.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he and Priscilla had visited Assisi.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah, that's very interesting. I will say that I can understand about her, you know, her reluctance to maybe get on board with the idea of Goldberry being representative of the Virgin Mary, given the marriage situation.
Yeah.
I remember thinking that when we were doing the interview.
I wasn't finished
with my thought.
I'm sorry. Yes, I had something explode out of my brain and
I can you felt remember like it for just
share.
A minute?
Okay.
Just remember it. Do you need to write it down so you don't forget?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good.
I was just gonna say, like, I remember thinking about that while we were talking to Keith, and I think that is the major sticking point for me as well, given that he and that Goldberry and Tom are married, obviously. But the feeling that I get from their relationship in the book, it doesn't seem like a typical husband and wife relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It seems more almost like a very good friendship, just the way they relate to each other and all the things. Like, it almost seems like there's more of a platonic aspect there, even though they are technically in the word, married. So anyway, I guess that's how I get around it. It doesn't seem like a typical marriage to me.
I would agree with that. And I think, and I'm no in no ways any expert on this, but I know that, for so many monastic orders, for so many of these orders that are celibate orders, and in Christianity and in Catholicism, there is this spirit of being married. Right. Of mm-hmm.
Church.
We have, and here in Nashville, we have the Nashville Dominicans, and they often speak of being married to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously a spiritual marriage. It's not literally married
right.
in the way that,
Greta
and I are married.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual idea, right. Of, mm-hmm. of being married to Christ.
Right.
And I feel like there's a corresponding thing for men to feel like they who are maybe monastics in some cases to talk about being spiritually married to to the Virgin Mary. Although there is the more general idea you see is that she's the mother, right? She's the mother of the
mother
faithful.
Of the church. Yeah.
But I know of bishops who, and priests who have spoken of being married to the church, and Mary is, and Mary is a figure of the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Catholic theology
right.
often.
And in fact, our good friend that we mentioned on this episode, all friars actually, when they take their monastic name, they take their monastic name and then they have a second name, like their middle name.
Mm-hmm.
And in the order that our friend is he's a Franciscan friar. In their order, they choose either Joseph or Mary
mm-hmm.
as their middle names. And we've met many of these friars over the years, and I feel like a good many of them choose Mary as their middle name.
Absolutely. So,
including our friend.
Well, there's no doubt that for many Catholics and others that Mary is like devotion. We've done a consecration to Mary as mm-hmm. Catholics, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not necessarily marriage in the sense of, in the sense of that we think of it on a natural level, but I don't think there's anything wrong with talking about like this kind of like spiritual marriage kind of idea to somebody like the Virgin Mary, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, I understand. I totally get where Marilyn's coming from. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I can also see, you know, I don't think it necessarily takes away from who the Virgin Mary is to suggest that. But all in all, it's not necessarily saying that Tom is Brother Francis, that Goldberry is the Virgin Mary, more like they resemble them.
Right. Right. They're more like representative.
The strong resemblance.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So did you get to share your mind-blowing thought?
Probably. It's all jumble in there.
Okay. Good deal. Okay.
Marilyn left a couple of other quick notes. She said, P.S. I think of Tom Bombadil as the embodiment of the music and Goldberry as a water spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. And then finally, she says, P.P.S. I also agree with Tom Shippey that Tom Bombadil is a genus loci. I think I'm saying that right. A pagan concept of an embodied spirit of a place. Tolkien says as much in Letter 19 to Stanley Unwin in 1937, if memory serves. So an embodiment of the music which produces that particular place, if you will. Yeah.
Okay.
I can feel that. Yeah. You know, same. That makes sense to me. So, yeah. I mean, it was just, that was a fascinating topic for sure.
Yeah,
so,
it really was. It was a great discussion.
I really enjoyed talking about going in depth on Tom Bombadil.
Mm-hmm. So, lots of good food for thought, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if, you know, hey, if you continue... For those of you listening, if you haven't gotten your thoughts in on Tom, feel free to share them with us. We'll, you know, read them on future episodes. So,
yep.
And thanks for your feedback, Marilyn.
Yes,
we
always
appreciate it.
Very much. Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this episode.
Okay, okay.
We'd love to hear from any and all of you. TolkienRoadPodcast@gmail.com, TolkienRoad.com, Facebook, Twitter, etc., wherever you can find us, and reach out to us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening, and a special thanks to our patrons for supporting the show, especially the following: Shannon S,
Brian O,
Emilio P,
Zeke F,
James A,
James L,
Chris L,
Chuck F,
Asya V,
Ish of the Hammer,
Teresa C,
David of Pints with Jack,
Jonathan D,
Eric S,
Joey S,
Eric B,
Caitlin of Tea with Tolkien,
Matt L,
Johanna T,
Ms. Anonymous,
and Sam N.
Thank you guys.
Thank you all so much. Yes. For listening, and we will talk at you next time.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.